It is my greatest pleasure to be able to be here and share the word of God with you. And I want to thank you so much for inviting me and allowing me to do that. It is God, so we must give him thanks. And I think we have had to learn a lot about change during this lockdown period. So much has happened, and we had to learn how to live in different situations and circumstances, some that we are not used to, but we have had to learn to do that. One of which for me is exactly what is happening now, sharing the word of God on Zoom. After having been used to preaching in a church, maybe full of people, you're seeing them so you can share. And this reminds me of a very interesting story that I can share with you now. And sorry for Lauren, who is hearing this for the upteenth time, because I've said it before, so she knows it. There was this minister. He went to church on a Sunday morning, ready with a good sermon prepared. And then time for the service came, and nobody came. Only one old man walked in and sat there. So the minister waited with the old man waiting for more people to come, and they did not come. So in the end, he then went to the old man and said, "Sir, I think we just have to pray and go home because people didn't come and I don't know what to do. So let's just pray and go." And the old man looked at him and said, "But minister, I'll ask you a question before we pray and go. If you are keeping chicken at home and you go and feed them every morning, and one morning you wake up, you go there to feed them, and only one chick turns up for feeding, will you turn it away hungry?" And he said, "No, I'll feed it." And he said, "But why do you want to turn me away without feeding me the word that you have prepared?" And this was convincing enough. So the minister took his Bible, went onto the pulpit, delivered this powerful sermon that he had prepared. And in the end, as our tradition here, the minister goes, stands at the door to shake hands with people as they go out. So the old man came to shake the minister's hand. So when they shook hands, the old man said to the minister, "Thank you, minister. But next time, if only one chick turns for feeding, you don't give it the full bucket." So he had given him the full sermon. Now I'm in that quandary now, having been used to preaching a church full of people, and now I can only see a few on a screen. Should I give them the full bucket? Maybe I've got to rework my sermon. And this morning, as I was thinking about what to share with you, I came up with a theme. Have you seen the risen Lord? Which is a theme that I've heard for a couple of Sundays now. And those of you who are listening to me again saying the same today are probably wondering and asking of exactly where I'm trying to get with this. But let me assure you that it's nothing but a simple call to a life-changing experience. For I know now that once you see the Lord, life will never be the same again. From the resurrection experience and the power with which Christ came, even his own disciples questioned, "What manner of man is this? A man who could even come through closed doors. A man who, when he entered the world, changed everything. Now songs are sung to him, books written, and artworks all over the place. What manner of man is this?" In fact, Jesus looms large over human history, that we now measure time by him. And who does not want to meet a man like that? Who does not want to see a man like that? His every encounter with people changed their story. The sick were healed, the hungry were fed, The dead were raised back to life. And I believe that anyone would want to meet a man like this. So I ask again, have you seen the risen Lord? A famous historian once said, I am a historian. I'm not a believer. But I must admit as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. But more importantly, is his impact on humanity. I believe everyone would want to meet a man like this. Seeing Jesus changes life and empowers people. As we see in scripture, Jerusalem was soon ablaze with the preaching of the disciples. The disciples did this after when they had seen the risen Lord. Which is why I keep asking, have you seen the risen Lord? The Romans and the religious leaders that they once feared were no longer a scare to them. They were in fact ready to even die for the gospel. Even historians ended up admitting that seeing this Jesus is far important than anything. His impact on humanity is far greater than anyone would want to miss. Because seeing Jesus changes life and it empowers people. As we see in the Bible that Jerusalem was in no time ablaze with the preaching of the disciples who once were so scared and terrified of the Romans and the religious leaders. But now they were no longer afraid. They were even ready to die for the gospel. Amazing things happened. Signs and wonders followed them simply because they had seen the risen Lord, which is why I keep asking, have you seen the risen Lord? And in our reading today, Saul encountered Jesus and his life was never the same. Sinful and still breathing murderous threats against believers, as we have heard, Jesus met him and he became a totally changed man. And this encounter alone made me realize the importance of seeing the Lord. You can see here that there is no sin beyond redemption if you see the risen Lord. In spite of all that Saul had done, Jesus was still willing to forgive him and give him a new lease in life. Friends, I've learned in this text not to judge people because of what they did yesterday. Because God can change your life in the blink of an eye. We are told here that as Saul neared Damascus on his mission to destroy Christians, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, why do you persecute me? And to his knowledge, Saul had only persecuted Christians and no one else. Who then is this man claiming to have been persecuted by him? And yet his light alone was strong enough to throw him to the ground, evident to the fact that this man was stronger for him to contend with. And yet he's claiming that you are persecuting me. How is that possible? You know, in Matthew 25, verses 40 to 45, Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And maybe if Saul could remember this, he is now asking, who are you, Lord? This must be God. It left him in a quandary. The man speaking to me, I can sense his strength, his power. He can only be the Lord. Who are you, Lord? He asked. I am Jesus. You are persecuting. Jesus replied. That got me thinking. Just think of the people you have hurt in life. Those you treated unjustly or unfairly. Then Jesus is saying, but why are you doing this to me? So piercing and convicting a question. And this became a turning point for Saul, the worst of characters. Jesus then said to him, get up and go into the city. And there you'll be told what to do. A bit hard for someone who is used to commanding other people, even treating them with an iron hand, to then go sit there and wait for somebody to come and tell you what to do. And this is the tragedy of human trappings, pride. This is when we begin to size people up. Better if it's that one. What can that one tell me? And no. So many of us have lost God's blessings because of that. And yet God is saying, so when you get there, just sit there and wait for whoever I'm going to send to you. And you listen to what they are going to say to you. And remember, Saul had no choice here. He was going to be blind for the next 3 days. Maybe a point at which we are humbled and made to realize and see the importance of the people we have treated unfairly before. And it happens, that kind of humility, to be able to be in that place where you will accept or look at everyone as with something they can offer you, can only happen if you have seen the risen Lord. The gospel is preached time and again. People hear it, but trust me, unless they see the risen Lord, it remains empty and nothing happens. Remember in our reading, the people who were with Saul heard the sound, but they did not see anything. They did not see the light. But they heard it. Maybe they heard the voice that was speaking to Saul, but they did not see anything in it. Believe me, the gospel has been preached time and again, and people are hearing it. Maybe everyone in this world has heard the voice. They have heard the sound. But how many of them have seen the risen Lord? How many of us are seeing God as we hear the sound, as we hear the gospel being preached? Maybe not many. It is only Saul here who saw the light. And it's only him now going through this kind of transformation. Something is happening in his life because he has seen the risen Lord. Friends, in conclusion, I pray that like this man Saul, let's seek the Lord. And maybe if we see him, that is going to change the story of our lives, the story of our communities, the story of our world will change only if we have seen the risen Lord. We'll be seized with the zeal for the Lord. But seeing the Lord must be accompanied by the love of God that we should have. Many of us lose it. We forget what it is to love the Lord. We forget what it is to love one another. It was said, Pauline said it in praise. And then when we do that, we begin to run around, do everything we are doing, forgetting that the love of God must prevail. Jesus looked in our second reading at Peter, the zealous one, who would run around before anyone else. And he says, Peter, I see what you are doing, but do you love me? God sees what we are doing. Everything, when you mop the floors, when you serve tea, when you serve others, Jesus is seeing it. But most importantly, are you doing it because you love me? In one of the songs we sang, it asked, will you care for the cruel and kind? God is sending us to love even the unlovable. When we're serving God and doing what we are doing, God looks at us, and what he looks is right in our hearts. Are we doing it because of love, or we have other driving factors? And my prayer this morning is that we come before the Lord and pray and ask him to enable us to see him in everything that we do, to see him in everything that's happening in the world, in the church, even in the gospel when it's preached. We don't want to hear the sound alone. Those with soul heard it, but it did not help. We want to hear it and then see God in it. That is my prayer. And we just please come to that point, and I'll say a quick prayer. Lord, we want to thank you. We thank you for who you are and what you mean to us. We pray that in all the encounters, in what's happening in our world, in our lives, I pray that you help us to see you in it. Even in the development, the changes that are taking place now, in the vaccination that we are enjoying, help us, Lord, to see you in it. You are the one who is leading us to where you want us to go. And I pray that we be obedient, listen to what you are going to say to us. I pray and ask this in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.